The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey y'all, it's Randy with BMM Indie episode 76. Is this libido? So my last indie episode was number 72 and I had just started my job. And now I'm a month and a half in, things have changed. And one of those things has been my libido. And we're going to talk about it. And I hope you enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2010, thought I was doing something. And now I'm rapping with a crew or something. I guess the track don't really stick unless he's gluing something. And I never fit the shoe until I do or something. Yo, bracing myself like teeth, boy, it's the same old route on some new concrete. But homie, these tunes make you get a new ID. I'm trying to do my thing, but the commute ain't cheap. I'm on a two-day week for all this rap these days. And we can still pitch the track to all the whack DJs. We're singing happy days, wearing tacky J's. And I'm just pumped that I made it out my nappy phase. Let's go. We can turn the whole world around. I'm in the backseat really trying to...
So... what happened was, y'all, I'm horny. I don't know how else to say that, but I've been, my sex drive is back. It's thriving, wants to be fed, and it's crazy because it feels like a new phenomenon. It feels like I'm in puberty again, like I'm in college and high school. And I thought it was really interesting. I've been thinking it's really interesting. Now, at first it was scaring me because, as a lot of women who have had kids feel, after you have a baby, the last thing you want to do is get pregnant again quickly. Some women. I know there are women who want back to back to back. And that's fine. That's your narrative and your ministry. That is not mine. But getting pregnant again is the scariest thing that could possibly happen to me. I ain't ready. I don't want it. I don't want it. Put the devil dick away. No. So, when I realized that my sex drive was back, it was scaring me because I was like, oh, I'm ovulating. And because the only time I really, really be wanting it, for real, like, I'm a whole different person, I need it, is when I'm ovulating. But then I was like, ain't no way I'm ovulating 3 months straight. Like, it don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. And then I realized I'm just in the mood. Like, this is just what it feels like to be back in the mood again. I hadn't realized that I haven't been in the mood. Like, I thought I was in the mood. We're having sex. It's fine. It's great. But I didn't realize I just wasn't in the mood. Like, not in the way that I am now. And it's just weird being in the space again. Me and Mike have had sex for a decade. Been having sex for a decade. And we're in a different era now. Or back, like, in the previous eras of our youth where we're not trying to conceive. And sex is different when you're trying to conceive for some people, especially if you haven't successfully conceived yet. And there's just a lot of pressure around it. You're having sex when you're ovulating. Only when you're ovulating, it's not fun anymore. You think it's you, you know, why you can't conceive. He think it's him, or, you know, whatever. And so, but now we're like, you know, we're out of that space. We've had this healthy baby. And now sex is just like back to sex. And it's weird. It's weird, but I'm not knocking it. But I thought that it was important to talk about because I know that we've gotten a lot of feedback from women, especially, you know, men don't usually write in. They send messages to their wives and girlfriends and stuff. Or they just be listening on the sly and don't tell nobody. But a lot of women write in when they hear our episodes talking about sex, talking about kids, and how, like, you know, just their marriage has been impacted, good, bad, you know, the ugly. It's just in general, just life happening. And I thought that it would make good content to talk to y'all about this thought process and, like, how it's been with my sex drive back. And really why I think it's back, because I think that this conversation could be helpful and that a lot of people could relate. So yeah, so I wrote down some reasons about why I think my libido is back, my sex drive is back, and I have 4 reasons. The first reason I believe my sex drive is back is because I stopped nursing. So I nursed Drew for 6 months, really 6 whole months. So the last day of her 6 month was the last time she nursed. And when she hit 7 months, she was off the boob. And she kind of self-weaned herself because, you know, at one point she was just nursing when she was with me. And she was getting formula at school. She was getting breast milk at school because I was pumping. I was pumping so much. I had so much milk. We couldn't hold it. We couldn't house it. Couldn't hold it in the fridge. Couldn't hold it in the freezer. I low-key had an oversupply. And it wasn't because of overpumping. I was blessed and I was able to feed her, and so I'm not upset about it, but it was a lot of milk. And so she had breast milk at school, and then she was just down to formula at school and nursing with me. And then, you know, we weaned each other. She self-weaned and I was like, okay, I'm done. Mainly because Drew is curious. She pops off the boob and it just wasn't. She was nursing. She was taking so long to nurse because she would get so distracted. Even if we were in a dark room by ourselves, she just got to know what's going on. So that wasn't really, it was driving me crazy. And she just wanted a bottle. You know, she was ready. We was ready. So anyway, I stopped nursing and I realized that my vagina started acting right again, because they say that nursing can affect vaginal dryness, just affect your body. And I wasn't really conscious of it affecting my body or how it affected my body, because y'all know Mike was driving a lot. He was in the program. It wasn't like we were really around each other. And so I wasn't putting 2 and 2 together until I stopped nursing. And I was like, oh, this is what people have been talking about in these forums and on Baby Center app and, you know, and on, these breastfeeding pages on Facebook. So that was 1. 2, Mikey stopped driving. So if y'all heard the So You Want a Cold part 2, y'all know that Mikey has retired from driving Lyft after 3 years. He was doing it at first as like extra money, then full time when I lost the job and life happened, and he was gone all the time between the program and having to drive for bills. He was gone. And so I think that him being home has definitely helped my sex drive come back, because he doesn't feel like such a stranger. And even when, you know, we were together and around, like once we got together, the sex was good, because that's just who we are. We just have banging chemistry. We fit. But it's hard to feel connected. It was hard to feel connected because he wasn't at home. And so, I didn't realize how important that was for me sexually. I had no idea how much his physical presence impacted my emotional connection to him. And I really had to cut my emotions off, I felt like, when, you know, this year, because I couldn't be depressed that he wasn't home, because we got a baby and a podcast and we got shit to do. And I had to just keep my head down and work and write and raise this baby, you know, make sure she's happy and healthy, and not like I'm not projecting myself on her. And so I really had to like cut myself off from him emotionally, I felt like, in some ways. Not obviously completely, because I think that would have translated through the podcast, but I had to do something toward that it didn't hurt so bad, as bad as it was hurting. And again, a lot of the stuff I wasn't conscious of until things started to shift. And I was like, oh. And I think it was coming out in like little ways, like, and he's talked about this on the podcast, like he'd be home and I have like Drew in my hand and her bathtub and a bottle under my chin, because I'm so used to like doing everything by myself for the most part in the beginning, because he was working and doing the program, that it was like, oh, you're home, you can like grab some of this and like do this. And so I think that I definitely see the connection between him stopping driving and just me feeling more emotionally connected by his presence and how that has impacted the fact that my sex drive is coming back or is back. The third reason I think my libido is back is because I've been really intentional about intimacy and being open and present. And I do think that it's because of this year. You know, I think that we don't, and when you're in a relationship, when I say, speak to myself first, being in a relationship with Mike, we've been together so long that a lot of the stuff, a lot of our chemistry and how we get along and stuff, it's so normal for me that it's easy to take it for granted because this is my norm. And so my norm was compromised this year. And so I realized where I had been taking for granted just our connection and how easy a lot of things come to us that don't come easily for a lot of other people, and how like blessed we are in that sense. And so I realized that, you know, having that really stripped away and like really being distanced from him, especially in the midst of being a new mom and just new parents with a baby podcast. Like, our podcast is still really young. We've only been doing it for 2 years in April. And so like just with all this new stuff, I've realized that it is my heart's desire to be more intentional about intimacy and being open and present with him. So that, just because I want to, and it's good for our marriage, it's good for me. And so I've stopped distractions. And so the way that I've been more intentional about intimacy and being open and present is I've stopped distractions. So overeating, and I didn't like, yeah, overeating, or just emotionally eating, I should say. So instead of like, you know, when you're emotionally eating, you're not always conscious of it, but you realize that like you crave sugar when you're upset, you crave liquor when you had a long day, you know, like little things, you tend to turn to food for pleasure and comfort. And so cutting that out, you know, requires me to turn inward and then to him. Y'all know I gave up the porn. It's been a while. And that was just mainly because I was just like, you know, I've had a good run and I'm just ready to turn that desire to inward and towards Mike. And I giving up drinking, which is a gasp because every day I regret that decision. Now, I am thankful that I had my good years of drinking. I've had some great memories and some great fun, but I realized my attachment to certain things, and you know, there's so many reasons. Maybe that's a whole other indie episode, but there are so many reasons that I decided to give up alcohol. But one of the main ones was to have the confidence naturally that alcohol gives me in certain situations, or in all situations, you know, just in general, you know, you know, liquid courage, you talk more when you drunk. And some people, you're more, at least for me, I'm more willing to say some crazy shit. I'm willing to do, I'm some of the craziest nights me and Mike had have been with alcohol as a baseline, or just like, you know, has been in the mix. And we've also had some really crazy sex sober, but you know, just really wanted to have more experiences sober where I'm present, and not even just, you don't always have to drink to get drunk, but I don't like drinking alcohol in moderation or just like just to be drinking it, because that's calories, y'all. And I used to be real fit, and I'm getting back into that, but like having to track that and just be conscious of how much alcohol you're drinking. For me, I was like, I'm not drinking unless I'm getting drunk. And so that would only drink at parties, and only at my parties in college. And so my organization hosted like 4 a year. And so like, I just wouldn't, cause I'm like, this is a waste of calories. I don't want to just drink. It's stupid to just be drinking sugar and dehydration and depression, you know, cause alcohol is a depressant. It just was a waste. And since I stopped nursing, and since I've had Drew, my tolerance has completely dropped. And so even a glass of wine will get me like buzzed. And it can be some cheap wine too, like not even good wine. And I just want to have my wits about me with Drewby, and I think I just want my mind back. There's a whole bunch of reasons. That's another episode. Maybe I'll do it, but I've given up those distractions in a sense, and so it's making me more. I just really want to be present. I don't know how else to explain it. I want to be present, and I want to be just, I'm reimagining myself. And so dropping those, and coincidentally, dropping like those things have, I think, aided in my sex drive coming back, or just me just being more, yes, that's what I'm trying to say. I can't really explain. I don't have the language to explain how they have completely done all those things, but I know that these are one of the reasons why my libido is back, and just why my connection to Mike, it feels like is stronger. I've also voiced my intentions out loud to Mike. Y'all will hear on the next episode, I go more in depth about this, but you know, I make a habit to say I want to have sex. You know, I compliment, I communicate, and these are things that, you know, people assume come naturally, especially if you've been together for a long time. But after a while, you forget to be like, you're really cute or you're handsome because you've been together so long. Like, I told you that. Like, it's just little simple things. And so just being more intentional, because his love language now that he's older is affirmations and physical touch. And so just remembering to pair them both when I, you know, communicate with him. And I also recognize that we've been talking a lot and I'd rather have sex. And so I think all of this is like voicing my intentions, giving up distractions, really working inward and being in a space where I have to turn to my relationship when I would turn to other things to comfort me is helping, or it has helped my libido. And then finally, the reason I think my libido is back is because I've re-realized that sex is good for me, y'all. I'm responsible. Whenever I take a strength finders test or any type of test, my first like top two personality traits is you're responsible. I'm an executor. I will do the work. I will do whatever you want me to do. You know, you can count on me to complete something. And the problem with that is I get really bogged down in work and being busy and doing other things that I forget pleasure, you know, and sex is not just for men. And I say this on the next episode too, but you know, I think pleasure is especially for women. We need it more than anybody in this world. We need pleasure. We need to get off. You know, we need to get on. You know, we need it, because don't nobody work like we do. And pleasure is our only way out, y'all. I see the light. It's the only way we're going to get any type of reparations around here, because this country don't care about us. This world don't either. So you might as well get you some, you know, with somebody that, you know, that ain't gonna hurt you or harm you. But unless you into that. But because I've like realized this, and this is still a process for me, y'all. Like, I still have to remind myself, Randy, put the work down. Randy, put the podcast up. Randy, put your phone down. Go get some. I've been really like letting Mikey pull me back into giving to myself and allowing me to do other things outside of work, because he's really good at that, like most men are. But he's really good about like, all right, babe, took a shower today, you know, you're still in your work clothes, let me give you some head. He's really good about inserting himself into the craziness that is Randy's work ethic. And so I have a few examples. So a few days ago, I had a really hard day at work. Not because my coworkers or anything are crazy, because they really aren't. I love them. But because part of my job is research. And so I am tasked with doing research, finding a certain amount of articles on a certain amount of topics, and sending them off to our client so that they can put in their database. And so the topics this month are like birthright citizenship, activism, freedom of speech. And so The catch is, though, I can't just find articles I agree with or I like. I have to find people who oppose birthright citizenship. I have to find, you know, I have to find people who oppose immigration, who are for Trump's cruelty and inhumanity. Like, I have to collect both viewpoints. And that's really difficult to do. Now, I love it low key because I love reading and I'm learning so much about what's going on in this country and the policies and all that. And on the other hand, it's a lot to consume and to take in and to retain, because a lot of these atrocities that are happening in our country are happening to people that look like me, people that are black and brown, people who deserve to be treated civilly, you know? And so, and just with grace and kindness, because that's, because it's just right. It's just the right thing to do. And a lot, and that's just not, people just don't agree. And so one day I just came home and I'm like, y'all, the shit that I had read, and I can't read everything or I'd never get any work done, but you know, I do have to read a lot of the stuff that I send off because, you know, it has to hit on all those things that I need. So anyway, I came home and I think I made it very clear I needed to have sex, and he agreed that he also needed to have sex. And y'all, the sex was so good. I felt high, and I ain't been high in years. Okay, y'all heard the story. I ain't been high in a long time. I felt like he spiked sex. I fell right asleep. I don't even know. I think I got some orange juice. I woke up. It was 6 o'clock, like a.m. I just needed it. And I was like, Randy, this is the answer. This is what's going to get you through this job. When you got to do this crazy ass research and you reading this hateful shit, this is what's going to get you through. So that's one story. And then there's one moment where we were in bed. We're about to have sex. We had just got Drewby down and I just can't shut my mind off. I wasn't working yet. I was just thinking about, I don't even know what I was thinking about. And Mikey just holds my hand. He just grabs my hand and he just holds it. And it brought me right back. I didn't even realize I needed it, but just like, just touch, just being like, I felt like somebody had snatched me back into the present. And I realized, okay, I really need this, because if not, I'm gonna just die in my head. I really am. I'm just gonna die in my head full of all the things I think about all day, every day. And then the last story that I have that showed me that sex is good for me is that the other night, we were just about to have sex. And I'm holding Mikey's head, his real head, not the head down there, the head, you know, his head. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what we used to sit and talk about in high school. We used to sit, sneak around, sit in bed. We finally get some time together. He'd come pick me up from Georgia State when I was Dolan Road. And, you know, we'd be in his bedroom, his mom be at work, everybody's at school because it's a weekday. And, but I'm with him because I'm, you know, I've done with my classes at Georgia State, and so I can leave the campus. And so he had a car, and we just sit there and we daydream about what it would be like to be married and to have kids and to live together and to not have to like only get 2 or 3 hours a day because, you know, while our moms are at work and sneaking around being stupid. But, you know, we used to really fantasize about this, you know, as hard as it's been this year, this is what the dream was. And so I was like, this is so fucking powerful. Like, we manifested this. And, you know, I don't know if I would have had that moment had I not been in bed about to get some, you know, like it just felt like such a, like it's been 11 years, but in a lot of ways, Mikey still looks like how he looked when he was 17. And I could see it in that moment. I was like, you're still that kid that used to pick me up bumping Lupe, you know, or Jay-Z in his car. And, you know, maybe we stop and get some wings. We go home. He lock his door. Y'all, like, it was the life. It was like, it was high school. It was great, you know? And so all of that just made me realize that, like, I really have to honor all of that. And sex is the way to do it. Now, I say this to myself before I say this to y'all. I am still a work in progress. Like I said, it's still it still takes practice. I still have to actively and consciously be proactive about this, you know, but I do think it helps that I have come to this realization. I do think all of this has increased my libido and brought back my sex drive. And for anybody who's like wondering why theirs hasn't gone, if their partner is telling them that they ain't the same, maybe this can help you. I don't know, like, maybe this can help you think about what's going on, because it was never an attraction thing. I think Mikey is beautiful, and I always have. Like, I remember being in high school and I could smell him. Like, he had a scent. I can't explain. I knew when he was around, and scientists talk about this all the time, pheromones and stuff. Like, I knew he was around. Like, I just felt really connected to him. And it's not even just to him, but like connected to myself. You know, my mom and the women in my family, which I've talked about, real big on self-pleasure, and like, you don't need to be out here getting pregnant young, falling for any nigga because you can't get off, and you think men are the only people who can get you there. Like, no. You can get yourself there, you know? And so, like, just getting really back more in tune with my body. And which helps, because I'm not in service to Drewby in the same way that I've been for 6 months in terms of nursing. And so it just feels nice to, like, not have milk dripping everywhere and to, you know, like, take my bra off. And even though she done ruined the ladies, they not... They was real perky when they full of milk, but now they just, it ain't right. She did me dirty. But I think also getting back to myself and realizing that myself likes pleasure. Myself likes sex. When you're in the, I've been in a fog, y'all. And in the fog, ain't no time for pleasure. Ain't no time, you know, and these babies don't care. Don't give a fuck about your orgasms. They don't care. They got made. And they only want them to be the ones that's here. And they just don't care. And so, but I've been actively navigating through this. And I'm hoping that this conversation that I'm willing to have with everyone can help. And like put something in perspective maybe for you. If you are going through this or experiencing this. And also like want to get your sex drive back. You know? Because I missed it. Like, this is different. Okay? So, yeah.
Answer me this. How long have you had that mattress? Because it's looking even lumpier than my lockdown love handles. And while those might be more cuddly, a lumpy mattress is doing nothing for your comfort levels or your sleep. So whatever body you're rocking, put it on a Nectar mattress. Prices start at just $499, and you get $399 in accessories thrown in. That includes a Nectar mattress, mattress protector, cooling pillows and sheet set, a 365-night home trial, and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com and get hugged.
All right, segment two, some Q&A. So we have some questions that Patreon sent us a few months ago once we started these indies. After our last break, and some from Instagram. So y'all could continue to send us questions, please, because we are running low on them, and yeah, we love answering them. So question one, Randy, this is from Kristen, I believe. Ideal star sign for y'all child. I'm talking about Pisces, etc. That's a star sign, right? Yes. We're just going to say zodiac sign. I can't tell star from sun. I don't know which one is which, but I do know that I have always been open to a Pisces and an Aries. Those are my favorite signs. I love Pisces and I love Aries. I love everybody else too, but I really love Pisces and Aries. And I think that's because some of my closest, and the Cancers, I love Cancers. But y'all a little special. Y'all look special. I can't get away from Virgos, but I know some people don't believe in astrology or don't like subscribe to it, but I like it. And my mom had us really young, as I've talked about. And when you grow up with somebody who's into astrology, you become into it too, or you don't. And you know, I did. But anyway, I've always wanted an Aries or a Pisces. And that's mainly because, like I said, they're my favorite signs. And also because there's this pattern in my family. So my mom was born the day before her grandmother. I'm born the day before my grandmother. So my mom is March 31st. Her grandmother's April 1st. My grandmother was August 22nd. And I'm August 21st. And so I knew that, like, it is literally up to me to continue this. The problem is Drew April was born March 2nd. That is not the day before her grandmother or the day after her grandmother, which means that it's like theoretically I'm supposed to have another child, but I don't know how likely that is. So this pattern may be stopping. But I've always just wanted to continue that pattern because it's just been this freaky thing that has happened in my family. And my mom is like really serious about this happening for her. And I'm like, first of all, these babies do what they want. I was 2 weeks early, you know, it wasn't even supposed to happen. But yeah, I don't know. So that's why I low-key want to keep up this pattern, but I know that means I have to get pregnant again. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about all that. So for right now, I did get my Pisces because I love Pisces. And Drew is awesome. She's very emotional and empathic already and dramatic, and I love it. And she's just very, like, observant and all my favorite things about Pisces. Now, we're going to have to work on her letting people do her crazy, because Pisces tend to do that. But she's a March Pisces, and March Pisces don't tend to do that. So, anyway, that's my astrology spill. We can talk about it in a DM. Y'all know. So, question number two. My first month on the job review. This question was posed on Instagram for Mikey, but I'm gonna take it because I needed some. Y'all love this job. I haven't still figured everything out in terms of like my life, like what I'm doing, but I'm thankful for this job and I'm enjoying it. It is a mind. It's working my mind. I'm working really hard and I haven't had to use my brain in this way in over a year. And so I'm very tired. And it's just that it's a brain exercise being at the shop. But my favorite thing so far is really the people. They all wrote me like this really nice card when I got hired. And it was just nice. And it's a small office. But what's like more important to me is like just the verbiage and the language that they use. They're all really big on language and facts because that's the job we have to do. We have to like research and write and proofread and edit and make sure people are like, make sure the language is right. And, one of the things that have come up a lot, like I literally asked my boss, why are you this way? Because I've only had one other boss who I've talked about on here a lot that I've absolutely adored. And I was like, you know, I'm just really interested to know, like, why you are the type of boss you are, because he just inspires loyalty and he hires really well. Like, everybody does their job so well. And it's so weird being in a workplace where everybody's job is purposeful. No one, and like, it's so purposeful. Like, your role is so important that you don't have time for mess. Like, we're here to work. And it's interesting working with adults who are adults and aren't mean. Y'all know about these toxic workplaces. Like, my supervisor literally said to me in our meeting, we have a weekly one-on-one meeting, he was like, you know, how is the workload? Do you think it's above your pay grade? Because I don't want you feeling like this work is abusive. Like, what? I'm just amazed. And I think they are who they say they are, which is nice. But it's also like making me, I'm also trying not to mourn the fact that we as a people, especially women, put up with so much shit at work, and we can really say no to a lot of stuff. There is some stuff at this job I'll never have to do that would have been expected of me to do at other places because I'm new or because people are trash and people have a misconception about what power is. And so y'all know those bosses that you can tell don't have no type of power in their life. So when they get to work, they crazy. Yeah. Like it's weird. It's weird not to be micromanaged. Like I literally walk in and it's expected that I'm just doing my work because I'm responsible for deliverables. Like there are things that don't get sent out to people unless I do them. And so we're just going to leave Randy alone, let her work. Because she got work to do and I do. So I'm thankful. It's really, it's a mind fuck. I don't know how any other classy way to say that. I literally feel like I'm in a twilight zone. I'm on the committee to plan parties. If y'all watch The Office, you get it. But that's literally what it's called. And we've had a Halloween party. Drew was there. Like, it's just so, I feel like a grown up. So yeah, it's great. And I'm thankful. The third question is, how did we introduce Drew and Groot to one another? So their introduction started after conception, because Groot knew I was pregnant before I did. And I didn't know he knew I was pregnant till the night I found out I was pregnant, because we don't do a lot of videos anymore of him, really. And that's mainly because he hates this floor. We have to like get some carpet and stuff. He just isn't as like rowdy as he usually is when I come home, but he'll like run to the door, he'll jump on me. He's like running circles around me. He's crazy happy. But like at one point when I got pregnant, before I knew I was pregnant, Groot stopped jumping on me. He like stopped. He just was acting different. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then I found out I was pregnant, and then I realized, oh, Groot knew. So I say that to say, he's always been very in tune with what's going on with my body. And I was very intentional about like keeping Groot around when I was pregnant, even when he was irritating the hell out of me. And even when, like, I had really bad morning sickness, especially the first trimester. But he would like lay with me, and you know, he always knew when I was about to throw up. I could always tell when I was about to throw up because he'd walk around the house and he'd whimper. And I just walked right to the bathroom because I knew what was about to happen. And sure enough, I was about to throw up. And so I really kept Groot around me when I was pregnant, and I let him lay on my stomach and things. Whatever he really wanted to do, that was within reason. Because, you know, you let Groot do too much, he'll never leave you alone. But so that started then. I really do think that helped, because I didn't want to make him feel like he didn't have access to me anymore. I'm not saying I was perfect, because there were some days I couldn't deal with Groot. I couldn't deal with him. Y'all know I was home all day. I couldn't do it. He's so clingy. He's a Cancer. He just want to be rubbed on and kissed on all the time. Like, you a pit. Go away. Anyway. Yeah, so I kept him around me. But when Drew was born, Mikey took her hat to the hat that they put on her after she, you know, after they got around and cleaned her off, to him. Drew's godfathers, Jeff and Logan, were watching Groot for the week. They watched him for like 2 weeks. Yeah, they had him at, you know, when I was in labor, and then like a week or two after, and he took the hat over to them and let Groot sniff it, which is what all like the baby forms and stuff say about dogs. Like, let the dog smell the baby first. And Mikey has it on video. We'll probably share it on Instagram. I think he still has it. Groot lost his shit. Like, he was so happy. He was trying to eat the hat. Like, which is probably doesn't inspire confidence about how he treat the baby, but he knew who Drew was. And so I think that definitely helped. So when he met her, there's a video on our Instagram page where he like, he's waiting for us to give him permission to introduce himself. She's asleep. He sniffs her, and she like kind of blinks her eye, and he just walks away because he's just overwhelmed. I don't think he expected her to move. And so, and they right now, Drew's realizing that Groot is like a thing. And she's crawling, and so she crawls to him, and he just licks all on her, and sometimes she won't it, sometimes she don't, so then they start beefing. He be licking her feet, and she be kicking him in his throat, then he gets sad, he walk away. Like, it's like a whole thing, but that's how we introduced them, and I think it definitely helped. Groot, we've had Groot since he was 8 weeks, and that's a long time. He's 4 years old. He'll be 5 in July. Oh my God. 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah, he'll be 5 in July. We got him in 2016. My birthday. We got him 2015, my birthday. Yeah. He'll be 5 in July. And we've had him since he was 8 weeks. We've trained him up. We taught him how to use the bathroom. He goes with the bathroom command. He sits, he lays. he's just well behaved, and we socialized him really young. So I think I'll say all that to say that I think all of that helped. We socialized him because my dad used to watch him during the day when we worked, because I worked down the street from my dad, and it was just easier to drop him off. And my dad at the time had 5 dogs, grown dogs, so they were adults, like 3+ years old. And so they trained Groot, like they trained Groot about how to not get his ass beat. Groot used to, y'all, it'd be so funny. My dad had this white German Shepherd, and Groot used to get on this dog nerves, and one day this German Shepherd just sat on him, and it was hilarious. And so I think all of that helped him be the dog he is now. So I wasn't worried about him meeting Drew and how he would act. Now, there are some days, now that she's moving and hitting, that I'm afraid he's gonna eat her, because I know how it feels when she scratched me. Like, I'd be about to throw her. But I have to remember that Groot's a dog, y'all. He could take it. Have y'all ever seen dogs fight or play? They play rough. And don't let Groot fool you. He get around some dogs, they start playing, they play rough. And so to him, it's nothing. And he acts that way. Like, we watch him, you know. And she'll get to hitting him, and he'll just turn his back to her, or or he'll show his stomach. And so that's really fun. She don't know what to do with that. He show his stomach, and she like crawl away. She don't know that he's like submitting to her. And then, you know, some days he just cover up his mouth, 'cause she likes to poke his nose, and or he'll just lick her, and she hate that. She hate when she likes to be kissed, but she hates when he just go crazy and start licking her. So she'll stay away. So he's realized ways to deal with her. And so I'm trying to let them be. I want her to have confidence around dogs, because that's what my parents did for me. And I want him to feel like he's still a part of the family. So yeah. Yeah. Thank you for those questions. And finally, the last segment. I'll leave you with this. So I tell you all the time, I'll tell you what I'm reading. So I'm currently reading The Wheel of Time, a sample. It is by, I should have probably had this up. The Wheel of Time is my mom's favorite fantasy series. And I'm starting to understand why she switched over to fantasy. She's been into fantasy for years. Like, she's gone through her phases. Like, we gotta do. My mom is a big avid reader. That's where I get it from. And she switched to fantasy at one point, and she ain't ever looked back, and she's recommended some great series. And so I promised her I would read this series, because Amazon is coming out with a show. And The Wheel of Time is by Robert Jordan, but Robert Jordan died. But he wanted to continue the series. And so, like, him and his wife literally looked for writers who knew the story, who knew the characters, who could basically write like him. And they found this person, and his name is Brandon Sanderson. And so he finished the series, and it's a 14 book series. And it was originally supposed to be 6 books, but it ended up being 14. And I'm reading the sample, and so far I really like it. I'm about to buy it. But the sample is like 1 hour long, because the book is so long, the first book. And so I'm going to finish the sample, decide if I want to buy it, but I'm pretty sure I am. And I'm going to read that. So that's what I'm reading. I was reading The Emotional Intelligence. I didn't finish it. And that's only because it was due back at the library, and I kept renewing it. And I realized that's the type of book I need to have digitally, and or I need to own the physical hard copy, because it's not a book you can like rush through. You have to like, you gotta read it. Like, you have to, it's not like, it's not a novel. You gotta take notes and shit. You gotta do a lot of stuff. And I was also reading Dreyer's English, which I also recommend if you're like a big grammar language nerd. I didn't finish that one either, because it was also due back after I renewed it a few times. I need to own that one too. You know, just things you need to, there are books you can just read and send off back to their people, and there are books you need to own. And so, yeah. So that's what I'm reading. But, and all, I'll leave you with this. Go get you some. No, really. We gotta have more sex, y'all. More healthy sex. There's no such thing as consensual sex, because sex is supposed to be consensual, you know, unless you're into that. But even then, you're consenting to being into that type of stuff. But I think that, especially women, y'all, come on, we gotta go get off, because that's the only way. I don't see no other way. I mean, obviously prayer and God and like our children and our dogs and our cats and maybe your other vices, you know, any other vices, but I'm just really starting to see the advantage of sex. And I just want to spread the good word, y'all, because I know we always hear like, we know y'all, we are freaks. We are freaky. There's not anything we really won't do. I mean, there are some things, y'all know. There are some things we won't do. Some things we will eventually. But I think that people assume that we always have sex. If, you know, if you don't listen to the podcast, we always have sex because we talk very openly about it. But that's not always the case. And this year, that definitely was not the case. And so it feels good to get back to it, but it also feels good to like, but it also makes me want to like reiterate to people, go have sex. Initiation is still awkward for me sometimes, but you know, that's a good thing about being horny. You just don't care. You just be like, just come give me some. But no, really, that's all I want to leave you with. Go get some. Go be vulnerable and transparent with the person you love or like, or whatever your situationship you got on, though I do not advocate for situationships, but that's another episode. Just go and let yourself be. You know, I probably need to take my own advice tonight. I'm really sleepy though. See, this is where I fall back in that trap. But I'm trying to get some tonight if Drew be accurate and she go to sleep and stay asleep. Anyway, yeah. Call to action, please submit your questions or your feedback for the next solo episode. And you can do that through email at blackmailmare@gmail.com. That's blackmailmare@gmail.com. Or you can leave a message at 770-750-4098. Again, that's 770-750-4098. And your feedback and your question could be featured on a future episode. Let me know what you think about this episode. If you found it valuable, if you thought I was just being crazy, let me know. Be sure to check out our website, blackmillennialmarriage.com. And follow us on social media platforms. Mikey is Mikey_XXI. I am Randy, RANDIIIEEE, on Instagram and Twitter. I will link all of those in the show notes so you don't have to worry. All right, y'all. As always, be blessed. Don't settle. Fight clean. Peace. About time that I get back. Yo, I'ma get back. We can hold it down. Oh, God, I'ma get back. Yo, I'ma get back. Fourth year in the promised land. Watch it, I promise.